following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Another busy week at Halas Hall as the Bears are underway with week number two of OTAs. And before that, they had a bowling function. John Fox took the team out bowling as a way of bonding. And from my understanding, wide receiver Marquise Wilson was the high bowler earlier in the week, 192. So the Bears have to work on their bowling, I think. They couldn't get one guy at 200.
Well, Marquise has to be a better football player. I think that's the key ingredient here, is maybe the bowling can spill over to him being a football player, because when we originally were introduced to Marquise Wilson, he was making some acrobatic catches out of training camp. He looked fast. He looked like a guy that could stretch the defense. And when you go out there and you read little snippets about the players around, Marquise Wilson is the guy that the outside media would like to see his inclusion in the offense.
That's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're also joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. As for the serious stuff, Ryan Pace, difficult decision this week, saying goodbye to the first draft pick that he's had to cut since taking over as general manager of the Bears, and that would be last year's sixth-round pick, the offensive lineman, Tayo Fabaluje. Tom, you're a lineman. This was a guy that people thought perhaps could eventually work his way into a swing tackle position. It never quite materialized.
Right. You know, and I feel bad because I thought I saw the athleticism. I thought I saw the footwork, the hand placement, being your head up. But then you had a health issue with an asthma type of dealings that he was trying to go through. In any position out there, it's about availability. You got to be out there every single day, every single practice. And if you're out there playing a game that's 100-plus degrees or a guy that's below zero, you got to be ready to go, and you got to be a four-quarter player, especially if you're an offensive lineman. That is not the one position that you're going to get substituted for in any way, shape, or form. And I have tremendous respect for the eye evaluation from offensive line coach Dave Magazu, who, whether you're in pads or you're not in pads, he can tell you if you're taking the steps of improvement. And if that decision was made, obviously there was some type of hiccup in his game that they couldn't wait for anymore.
And Jim, the Bears reportedly worked out the veteran tackle Jake Long today at Halas Hall. From when you last saw him on the field, what does he have left?
Well, I think the four games that he played in for the Falcons last year, he did pretty well. We know he was a first-round draft pick, Miami Dolphins, ends up with the Rams, obviously was, you know, one of the premier left tackles until he started to have injury. You know, a couple of torn ACLs for Jake Long. He had to get healthy and finally had an opportunity last year in Atlanta. And if he can come in, I definitely think he could benefit the Chicago Bears with where he's at. Good teammate, always in the right frame of mind, a true pro. He's going to handle himself accordingly. And then if something were to happen to Leno, or say the right tackle position, if Bobby Massey were to go down, I think this is a true professional that could step in at any spot. But I think the key thing for him is he's finally feeling healthy and getting back to the, you know, try to play at the top tier that he was prior to the injuries.
You know, with Jake Long, I think, I'm sure I would believe that he has the mentality that he is a starter in the NFL. And I would really feel bad about the investment that they've been able to make in Charles Leno Jr., who's a young guy who's got a lot, his health is on his side, and so is youth on his side. So, you know, maybe it's an interesting message they're sending to every one of the guys on the football team when they're willing to go out there and investigate a guy as talented as Jake Long. He's got superior size. He's got great strength. I think he did the most reps at 225 the year he came out in the NFL draft. But again, like we talked about Tayo, it's also about availability. You got to be healthy, and you got to be a 16-gamer. You got to be considered to have the health of a 16-game-a-year guy.
Now, keep in mind that Jake Long in his career has played 100 games in the NFL. He started 96. Yep. So is this a guy that comes in with a backup mentality, or
no,
a guy that comes in as a starter? And that would create a whole bunch of questions the rest of the offseason.
That's good, though. You know, I want a guy that's coming in here that considers himself a starter, because that pushes the competitiveness, the competition level on the offensive line, even to a higher level. That makes the meeting rooms more of a concentration to understand all your assignments, terminology. So, yeah, if I was a Bear talent evaluator, I would never push a guy by the wayside if he has the qualities and the credibility that Jake Long has already. But again, I have faith in Charles Leno Jr. that he can come in there and hold up against the competitive market of the tackle position.
We'll be joined by defensive lineman Mitch Unrein in our next segment here on Bears All Access. 312-644-6767 is the number that you can join us. We'll take your calls throughout the hour here on the show. On the defensive side of the ball, Willie Young yesterday met with the media up at Hallis Hall, and one of the things that he said is that he would like to finish his career with the Bears. Admitted the two sides are talking about an extension. I think he showed that team a whole lot last year from where he was a year ago right now to where he ended up finishing the season.
I agree. And I think Willie Young said it, you know, even yesterday in the press conference, that he has similarities to Leonard Floyd. And I think Leonard Floyd could benefit by watching a guy like Willie Young. His preparation during the week, his preparation on game day, the ability to rush out of a three-point stance or a two-point stance, how to use your feet and your length as an asset, all those types of things. And Jim, the question I wanted to ask you about that is because Willie Young said it's always good for a young guy to watch guy that has your similar style, your similar body type, your abilities. Is that true for a quarterback position, or is it different in terms of quarterback position? Because it is the most unique position on football.
Well, yeah, I do think you try to emulate the guy in front of you. You know, like, you know, because me getting drafted out of Michigan State, I was 235. I was drafted by the Steelers for a reason, because Neil Donald, that's a 240-pound quarterback. They thought we were similar, and they wanted guys similar in how they wanted the offense run. And so for me, it was emulating a guy like Neil O'Donnell, and people can criticize him all they want, but he did lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Super Bowl in probably those last eight games in 95. That guy was playing out of his mind. He was the AFC player of the month for the last 2 months of the season. And so I learned quite a bit from Neil O'Donnell, tried to emulate his workout program because he was big in the weight room, and how he prepared himself for games, how he prepared for games was a good influence on me, and definitely I believe that. And we were similar builds as quarterbacks. So, you know, in terms of Willie Young, you know, it's amazing, I think, what the impact of John Fox, Vic Fangio, because here, this is a guy who wanted to be traded. I don't want to play in a 3-4 defense was really what Willie Young was saying last year. And then he comes out and he gets a taste of success. He comes off that injury and plays so well and was such an impact player, where now he's somewhat is bought in. He wants to be a part of what John Fox and Vic Fangio and Ryan Pace are building in Chicago. And that's a good thing, because mentally it just says he's all in. He's on board, and he wants to be a Bear to turn this around.
And he says he's good. Willie Young said it yesterday during the press conference. I'm good. I can do anything asked of me. And I like that attitude, because you got to see that confidence at the podium. And that, I think it's a good lesson for Leonard Floyd. You got to believe in yourself first in order to believe that you can fit into any system.
Another player that fits that type of motif would be Mitch Unrein, who was handed nothing at the beginning of his NFL career, but continues to play in the league and was signed to a contract this offseason by the Bears. We'll talk with a defensive lineman next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every weekend on My50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week, guys, on Inside the Bears, Zach Miller chronicles his long and sometimes painful road to NFL success. Sam Acho delivers well wishes to kids at a Park Ridge hospital. Plus, get this. Try to visualize this here on the radio. Spice Adams and Chris Brozinski team up to test their limits with hot yoga. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Please now to be joined here on Bears All Access by defensive lineman Mitch Unrein. Mitch, welcome aboard. We appreciate the time that you've given us here on the show. But before we get to you and what you expect to do this season, let's talk about your wife, Corey, who is competing for a medal. She's going to Rio in women's trap shooting. First off, can you explain to people what that's all about?
Well, first of all, I'm really excited, as I might have, you know, expressed in the way I'm talking, but I'm just super excited for her. You know, trap shooting is a sport where you actually shoot a little clay target. She shoots a 12-gauge shotgun. She shoots 25 targets, and after 25 targets, they shoot two more rounds after that. And then after the 75 targets, the top six people go into the finals, and that's how they determine a winner.
You know, Mitch, if you do it as a hobby, you start at 16 yards away, and then you move back on other shoots. So how far away from the trap house does she shoot from?
Well, that's American trap. What she shoots is international trap. So actually, they are pretty close to the bunker, but the targets go about 60 to 80 miles an hour. So that's about twice the typical mile per hour of a regular trap field. American trap, that's pretty much standard of what you shoot anywhere you go typically. And the angles are more severe, and the targets are actually harder because they're being thrown at a higher velocity, so they're harder to break as well.
Well, Mitch, you can tell by your voice, like you said, just how proud you are, and you should be, of Corey.
That's I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, heck of an accomplishment for her. Is that what you do on your off days? Or are you trap shooting, Mitch? I mean, how is your aim? Can you hit any targets, my friend?
Well, I grew up in the country, so I can hit a few, but obviously I'm not as good as my wife is. We try to go out here and there and go shoot. You know, hopefully when she gets back, she's actually out of World Cup in Italy right now. So she has a pretty busy schedule this time of year. So once she gets back from that, we might try to go out and shoot this upcoming week. So it's always fun to go do, and it's a great stress relief.
Hey, Mitch, do you guys ever shoot sporting clay and skeet? Because I know your shoot trap is one type of the target shooting, but do you shoot the other ones also?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think sporting clays is probably the funnest discipline there is to do, just because you have to walk from station to station, and there's all different types of targets. You have some that are rolling on the ground, some low ones, some high ones, and that's the funnest for me, and it's kind of more of a laid-back atmosphere.
I agree.
But I've shot pretty much everything so far.
We're visiting with Bears defensive lineman Mitch Unrein here on Bears All Access, and if you're wondering why are we talking about trap shooting, there's a very good reason. His wife, Corey, is a U.S. Olympian. She's going to be competing in Rio this summer, and that leads to a very difficult question. She's used to you traveling on game day and being away from home, and you're obviously, you just mentioned, she's in Italy right now, so you're used to her being away. But the Olympics is a different deal, but it falls right during the middle of the season as you guys are preparing. Can you even begin to think about going there, or do you have to stay with the Bears?
Well, you know, that's a question that I'm going to probably have to ask here maybe tomorrow, actually. Yeah. It's funny that you even brought that up, but I'm actually going to probably go ask Fox and kind of just pick his brain to see if it's going to even be a possibility. I know that's, you know, I think the second week of our training camp, and I think that's a few – she shoots August 7th. She already knows when she's going to be actually competing at the Olympics. So now it's just a thing of going and asking if I can go. And, you know, if I can't, that's fine. I know this is my job, and I'm totally fine with that. But it'd be a great opportunity to go down there, even for a couple days, come back. But even if I can't go, you know, I know she'll do great, and I know she'll represent the USA very well. And hopefully she brings back the gold. You know, that's one of the things that we've been hoping for. She went in 2012 as well. She didn't medal. And she went in 2008 as well. And she actually did medal in 08. She took a bronze medal. So we're just hoping for that gold this year.
Hey, quick thing here. August 7th, as you know, I'm sure you've looked at the schedule. No practice. And you don't have to be back until August 8th. Practice starts at 11:15 in the morning.
Chicago, because when it came down to it, it came down to, I think, Chicago was in the running for it, if I remember correctly. And I'm like, man, which at the time, you know, that was some years back, and now looking back, I'm like, man, I really wish it would have been in Chicago, because I could have just drove right down, watched, and then headed right back and kept on practicing. But, you know, it'll be definitely a long trip down there. I think it's, I don't know how many hour flight and stuff like that. So it'll be a couple days, you know, before and after in order to get down there. So I don't know if that's going to be, you know, something that I can pull off or not. But either way,
well, hey,
I'm excited for, and hopefully she can go down there and win a medal.
You got a feather in your cap, because this has happened before. Nick Mangold, the center for the Jets, his sister competed in the weightlifting in 2012 in London, and Rex Ryan let him go. Say, come on, Foxy, you got to let it happen. You got to make this happen.
You know what? I mean, yeah, there's different circumstances on different teams and things like that, but whatever happens, happens. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be out here in Chicago playing the game that I love. And my wife, like you said earlier, we understand each other's jobs. So it's not one of those things where, you know, if I can't be there all the time for her, she understands that as well as her. She can't come to every single one of my games, and I definitely understand that as well.
Hey, Mitch, let's talk about football a little bit, because you're more of a jack of all trades. You came here and you gave the Bears some great snaps at the defensive line position. You also contributed on special teams, but you also lined up at fullback a couple times. And I was looking at early in your history, you caught a touchdown pass from Peyton Manning. Did you keep the football? Did Peyton make you give it to him? And if you did keep it, did you get Peyton to sign it?
Well, yes, I did keep that.
Very good.
I mean, I have it set up in my house in Colorado, and I actually did have him sign it as well. I felt like a 12-year-old going up to my you know, hero and be like, hey, can you sign this football for me? I was kind of nervous. He was a great sport about it, signed it for me. And it's pretty crazy how, you know, how many touchdowns that he threw. And for me to be one of those people, I mean, I still have to pinch myself at times and be like, wow, I played defensive line and I got the opportunity to play fullback and catch a touchdown pass from possibly, arguably, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
I mean, think about it. You've done things that only Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and some of the most decorated offensive players in NFL history have done.
I'm just so glad I didn't drop that pass, because if I had dropped that pass, I would have never lived it down. So luckily I caught it, and so you never know. Hopefully maybe I can get another opportunity to catch one from Jay.
Well, you have such an interesting career, and you're from a highly athletic family, Mitch, no doubt about that. What was it in that first stint with John Fox that really, you know, he obviously believed in you to bring you to this football team last September? Maybe just talk about that relationship and what you believe John Fox liked and believed in you to bring you on board with the Bears.
You know, I think something that they have liked in me is they saw me when I pretty much my first time in the NFL, and they were the coaching staff to give me my first opportunity, and I believe that they saw me, you know, gradually get better year after year, and that's something I've tried to hang my hat on. And you know, it's kind of crazy how things work in the NFL. Last year at this time I was in San Diego. I signed a 2-year contract there last year, and come week three I get released, and that same day I'm on a plane out to Chicago, here to Chicago. So you know, it was a no-brainer for me to leave San Diego. I had a good time out there, but it wasn't the right fit for me. And when I came out here to Chicago, I got to contribute right away. Obviously, I have that faith in John Fox, and they have the faith in me. So it was kind of it worked together. And it turned out to be a really good season for me. It was one of my better seasons that I've had in my NFL career. And John Fox is just a great guy to play for. You know, he's a straight shooter. He'll tell you how it is. And, you know, that's what I really like.
You know, when you think of the combo of John Fox and Vic Fangio, that's two incredible defensive coaches with a lot of experience. And there's a lot of other quality defensive coaches on your staff that have great NFL experience. Last year when the new coaches got here, everybody was in the same boat in terms of learning the defense, learning the system, learning what you do against different offensive formations. Do you see the guys knowing the information faster this year when you go through an OTA classroom session and then bring it out on the field?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when I came here and I was kind of thrown into it really quick, and there, it was a lot for me to, you know, learn right away. And I think everyone, I mean, it's the first year in any defense, it takes a while to get really quick on, you know, knowing your responsibility, and then you have time to look at the formation and see what kind of play that they might be able to run out of that formation. So I think everyone's just so much quicker on knowing what they got to do, and we can also get deeper into it where we can do different things up front. You know, we can call some stunts out that we weren't getting to last year because we were still, you know, thinking about the defense, what we needed to do. But now we know what we have to do. And then if we see a certain thing that the offense is going to do, we can call out certain things that, you know, can kind of throw a wrinkle in the actual defense. We can kind of take some more ownership of that. And that's huge for a defense going into a second year, because I believe we're going to play faster. We're going to play better, obviously. When you play fast, when you're a fast defense, you're a good defense. And I think that we have all the tools, especially up front, linebackers, safeties, corners. I feel like we're going to be very tough. And, you know, if you have a good defense, you can be in any game.
Bears defensive lineman Mitch Unrein, our guest here on Bears All Access. And just watching you guys in the open sessions to the media in these OTA workouts, the thing that you notice right away, there's a swagger that wasn't there defensively last season. Is it because of the new additions on defense? And kind of take us inside that defensive line room and what's different this year, even with the guys who were here last year. What's different about that room this year?
Well, I think we have obviously more confidence, like we talked about before, about knowing the defense better. I think that you're not thinking as much, so you can go out there and be yourself and have fun. And I think the additions that we made as well have definitely helped. Jarrell Freeman, he's a stud. Danny Trevathan, you know, I played with him in Denver for a while. He, and obviously, you know how what kind of player he is. You know, he's a ball hawk. He's always around it. And Akeem Hicks, great guy. He's a great pickup. He's one of the most athletic big guys I've ever seen in my life. You know, for being like 6'5", 340, that guy can move, and he is very, very powerful. So it's really cool to, you know, see him come in and make an impact right away in OTAs. And just everyone's attitude this year, I feel like we're upbeat, but we're focused, and we just want to fly around and have fun, because that's when a defense, that's when you're having fun, that's when you're a successful defense. And I think we definitely have all the tools to make that happen.
Well, last one for me, Mitch, because that really is what I want to know. Because at this point of the year, I mean, granted, no pads are on and anything like that, but the gelling process, how a team gels together and works together, is really critical to really solidify that bond going into training camp and all those things. And it sounds like from your standpoint, that has happened. Like on past teams you've been on, maybe touch on it, compare and contrast what you see unfolding for the Bears gelling together as a football team.
Well, I think we're on the same page. We have guys coming from teams that have won a Super Bowl. You know, I got the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. We have other guys coming from different situations, guys that have never been to the playoffs. But we all want the same thing, and we all know what it takes to get there, because obviously people have seen what it takes to get there and have been there and done that. So it's starting a mindset, and I think that's something that we're all – it's going to be a learning process the whole year on what we need to do. You know, there's going to be setbacks. That's the way football is at certain times, but as long as we keep our head on right, and we keep on working hard, I feel like the sky's the limit for this team.
Mitch, good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck when you have that sit-down with Coach Fox tomorrow about trying to get to Rio.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Really Mitch Unrein, our guest, the Bears defensive lineman, and you can hear it in his voice. I mean, there is a confidence, a swagger defensively that was not there a year ago.
His sister's a three-time All-American in the backstroke in college swimming. So, I mean, he might be the third best athlete in his family.
His brother, I think, they played college football.
Both his brothers
did. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a very athletic family. And again, you think of a defensive lineman, you don't think of them as being athletic, but I mean, hey, he's catching touchdown passes from Peyton Manning.
And he's on special teams.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. Your calls, 312-644-6767. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Sabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access. You can join us at 312-644-6767. We just visited with Bears defensive lineman Mitch Unrein, and I want to hit on something that he said about the defense, about how they can do more this year because there's a greater understanding of what Vic Fangio wants. You're spending less time thinking. And they've added guys who understand how you need to play in the NFL.
You know, the adjustments that a team of linebackers that know how to play football can make, that adjustments up front and that pertain to the defensive backs, that's what Trevathan is. That's what Freeman is. That's what John Timu has been able to learn in the 1 year that he's been around. And that's the key here, because Shea McClellan was a player in transition. He was trying to learn a new position. He was trying to learn Vic Fangio's system and terminology. And then he was trying to make adjustments of seven players in front of him.
Yeah.
When you go out and you watch the defense like we have the opportunity to do on Wednesdays, you see the sideline pursuit of the linebackers. You see the adjustments they make in consort with their defensive linemen. And it's a totally different front seven and eight because of those two guys.
And I want to go back to a team that Jim played on, because it reminds me a lot of the Bears. Remember when they had Keith Traylor and Ted Washington, and you had those big guys up front? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why am I talking about a 4-3 defense when Vic Fangio runs a 3-4? But let's face it, in passing downs in the NFL, the majority of the time where defense is going to be, you're talking about essentially going with a 4-man front, not a 3-4. And at that point, you have a guy in Akeem Hicks. You heard Mitch Unrein talk about him being one of the biggest humans you'll meet. Eddie Goldman's a lot bigger this season because he spent a lot of time in the weight room this offseason. It reminds me a lot of that defense, Jim, that you had when you played with the Bears, those beefy guys up front allowing the linebackers to roam.
Yeah, and they were great athletes too. People forget when Keith Traylor came into the league, he was drafted as a linebacker and ate his way into D-line, and he could still move. I mean, legitimately, I mean, he's well over 330 pounds. You could say the same for Ted Washington. I mean, he was 6'5", and he played close to, believe it or not, he won't admit it, but he was listed at 350, but he was easily pushing 385. Let's just put it that way. But he was 6'5", and he could move. He was a nose tackle that could tube gap in a 3-4. But, I'd just stand on the sideline and be in amazement. I saw him, you know, basically ragdoll guys and track plays on a toss play to the sideline. You know, he'd hurdle guys like a defensive end that fell down, and he would still make the play before the running back could get the corner. And it just sounds like that's what, you know, John Fox, you know, has normally done. You know, whether in Carolina they had a big, bad defensive line there. I believe he built one out there in Denver. Granted, it switched over when Wade Phillips showed up, but athletic guys, and he's trying to simulate that, I believe, in Chicago. And these guys are big guys that can move, no doubt.
So earlier in the show, we were talking about how the Bears worked out Jake Long, the veteran tackle, earlier today at Halas Hall. Well, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reporting that former Panthers offensive tackle Nate Chandler is signing with the Bears.
You know, it's good. It's just more competition. You got a guy who, and it doesn't, you know, it's not really a reflection of what Coach Dave Magazoo, offensive line coach, is thinking about the talent he has. But Ryan Pace has always said with John Fox, if we can bring in competition, we are going to bring it in. And we are going to find the best guys that are going to be active on game day. So I'm not against them signing anybody, as long as they come in here and they add to the competition. And so it's going to be interesting to see where he fits. Where do they want to play him? Does he have the athleticism to sink inside as well as to the outside in a lot of different decisions that have to be made? Because one thing we learned about the Bears last year in training camp is in training camp, these players play every position, because you got to think, what are the best seven for game day to be activated on game day? So, again, you cannot be a one-dimensional player. How do you fit in, and where else can you fit in besides the position that you're here for?
And you want to make sure, Jim, we saw this a few years back, I think when Mike Tice was the offensive line coach, and remember Gabe Kareemi briefly spent time with the Bears, the former first-round pick.
Yeah.
He was a tackle but was forced to play guard in a game for the first time in the NFL because the Bears were decimated by injuries in the middle of the game. I think that's the reason that Dave Magazoo does that and plays everybody at all the different positions, first to see what you can do and then to make sure, since you only keep seven up on game day that everyone can be flexible enough to protect yourself at all positions.
Yeah, it's critical. You really do have to cross-train them. Every team is doing it across the National Football League, and the Bears are going to be no different with how they're going to approach it. So Nate Chandler, who you're talking about from the Panthers, played 11 games at right tackle in 2014, also has played both guard spots and both tackle spots, so probably more versatility with him. Plus, he's younger than Jake Long, who we talked about earlier. But much like Jake Long, Nate Chandler, he's coming off injury as well. You know, he didn't play last year because he's coming off a knee injury. But I think the versatility issue of it and what you guys just touched on, that's really the key and why they went with Nate Chandler.
And it too, you know, it's got to light the fire over under every one of these guys that are on the roster at this point, because when they go out there and they see the way the Bears front office scouts, Ryan Pace and the whole coaching staff is constantly investigating talent out there, you got to make sure that you're diligent about everything that's required of you at this point in the season. You better be paying attention to those meetings. You better transfer that to the field and don't have mental mistakes are not acceptable. But I think that's for every position across the board. It's just right now we're talking about the offensive line because with the Jake Long scenario and Chandler and stuff. But I think it spills across to every position on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind that I think the top swing tackle, at least prior to today, was a guy by the name of Nick Becton. So you can't have enough competition, I think, at the position, Tom.
Not at all. Because, you know, if you go back to the at late in the season last year, and Charles Leno Jr. was playing left tackle, in demonstration squad, they also had him taking some center snaps. So, again, nobody, whether you're a starter or not, you still have to increase your value by showing what else you're capable of doing, just like the scenario you explained with Gabe Karimi. If they get in that worst-case scenario, how can you move guys around?
We had a chance to talk to Charles Leno yesterday, and for whatever reason, people outside of the building, they keep thinking that this guy is going to be replaced. And I don't know if it's because they see him as a late round draft pick, a guy that was just kind of filling in for Jermon Bushrod last season, but Bushrod was healthy by the end of the year and they didn't go back to the veteran because Charles Leno won the job. Your alignment, explain to people, because I think a lot of people don't understand what to look for.
Well, I think most people, when they evaluate talent, they look at wins and losses. But I don't think the losses are contributed to the lack of effort or the lack of ability by Charles Leno Jr. He wasn't out there giving up multiple sacks per game, having multiple holding calls and multiple mental errors. And you think of where he's come from, where he was drafted, how young of a guy he is, and now he's in a system that everybody's learning at the same pace as he is. And the difficulty of learning so many nuances about a new offense is very trying. So I expect to see a better Charles Leno Jr. this year, because he's not going to be in that thinking frame of mind. He's going to go to the line of scrimmage and he's going to know exactly what his obligation is to that specific play. So again, you know, maybe everybody will prove me wrong in the long run, but I have faith in Charles Leno Jr. that will be one of the guys that is going to be there competing for a starting position every day he lines up.
The belief is, for people that don't know, he's a technician. He's a guy that understands fundamentally how to play the position of left tackle. Plus, there were times last season where he was left one-on-one with some of the best pass rushers in football.
And you're still trying to develop a right tackle on the other side that you don't know where his future lies when they were going through that experience with Kyle.
In division alone, he held up against Ziggy Ansah. You look at Clay Matthews and Everson Griffin up there in Minnesota. These guys aren't chumps. Those are men, and Leno held up just fine. He should be pretty confident coming into this year.
That's Jim Miller. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on. Join us 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/email. Zach Sadman, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767. So Alshon Jeffrey was at Soldier Field last weekend.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, went to the Beyonce concert. I mean, that's not unfortunate. She puts on a great show, and, you know, at least he got to check out the digs, because most of his teammates have not been to Soldier Field this offseason, but he's not been to Hallis Hall.
I'm a Bears season ticket holder, so now you can get that point of view. You know, I'm glad he's out there socializing and singing and throwing first pitches and all that at Wrigley Field. I need to see Alshon Jeffrey on the football field. I need to see him work with Dal Loggins, the new offensive coordinator. I need to see him be a leader and an advisor to the wide receiver position and how to do the same thing Brandon Marshall did for Alshon Jeffrey, Alshon needs to do for Kevin White. Because let me tell you, folks, Kevin White is the real deal. He is a receiver that can get off the line of scrimmage against press coverage. He can make really good moves downfield when the coverage is retreating off of him at the line of scrimmage. And he's a big body that can make difficult catches. But now, when you have him being the most influential wide receiver on the football field, the defenses can react a little bit differently to the Bears' offense. Now you throw another 6'5 guy out there with the speed of that's Alshon I'm talking, and then you have the speed of Zach Miller at the tight end position that we didn't even know existed at this time last year, and then we all got introduced to it throughout the season. Now, if you put those guys on the field, now it makes your running back position stronger, and even though there's youth on the side, you still have those guys that can help, and it helps Jay Cutler.
But isn't this what happens? Isn't this just par for the course when it comes to players who get the franchise tag? They can negotiate with the team until July 15th and reach a long-term deal. And we saw this with Matt Forte. He wasn't around during the offseason until he...
Matt Forte's offseason work ethic was never questioned in any way, shape, or form. That's still a question mark in Bears fans, season ticket holders, and guys that and the people that want to support the Bears.
But Jim, Jeffrey is training supposedly with Dwayne Wade's guy and LeBron James's guy. So I know what you guys always say about there's nothing that prepares you for football better than playing football. However, that being the case, is he not the... He spent time at Jay Glazer's gym, obviously working with LeBron's people. So isn't he making the necessary changes in his life away from the field?
I think that's great, but what's the upside when you're trying to negotiate a contract and you're not in the building? I mean, there's no upside to it. Von Miller just won a world championship. He's out there working with the Denver Broncos. He's confident he's going to get along because it's an act of good faith showing up. He's a world champion, and he's showing up. Muhammad Wilkerson is probably one of the best defensive linemen in football. He's at Jets OTAs for Todd Bowles. He wants to get better because he knows if I put in the good faith act of, hey, I'm in this building, I'm working, I'm a part of the common goal that Mitch Unrein just brought up, I think negotiations go smoother. Everybody sees your commitment every time you're in that building. So, you know, I'm kind of with Tom on this. And like I said, there's a world champion who was a dominator in Super Bowl 50. He's at every Broncos OTA. His name is Von Miller. He's one of the best backers in the business.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Chris in Lakeview, you're on the show. Hi, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Hey, Chris.
I like where the Bears are going. I mean, like, you have to, limit the time of possession to the guys in the division like Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers can beat you. And defense and running the football is the key. So I think the John Fox philosophy is not really that far apart from what the Bears have always done. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? First of all, I like where the Bears are going because I like the defensive help they brought in. Because, again, we talked about the linebacker scenario last year as opposed to this year. You have more intelligence at the position because repetitiously they've done it over their career. They understand how the front guys work in front of them to get in the best position to be aggressive against the quarterback and help your defensive backs. And I like the mentality John Fox has on the practice field because they practice at a high speed and an aggressive rate. And now the key is going to be, does the offense able to take the next step with Dal Loggins as the offensive coordinator? And you still have to have the same philosophical believing that it's going to go through the running game, through the quarterback, and then downfield to the receivers. But it is. It's about making sure you score enough points to have your defense be as aggressive as what you've come out here and signed Hicks and Trevathan and the rest of these guys for. So I do like the direction. And what I got to watch John Fox lead this football team through training camp last year and the seriousness of every practice and how physical they were, I do think if you get these guys in year two of the system, the terminology, and having an upgrade at certain positions, I believe that they're out here to be more competitive within the division.
Tom is in Plainfield. Hi, Tom. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, listen, as much as I agree with you guys with Alshon Jeffrey that he should be there, my question is, and I'm completely a novice knowing this, is he currently listed under contract because of the
he signed his franchise tag. He's okay, guaranteed so over $14 million.
Guaranteed money if he got hurt. Okay, that's all I meant.
And, you know, Tom, you got to have, you know, if the Bears are willing to commit over $14 million to Alshon Jeffrey, I do think it's the obligation of the player to be here contributing during this time with your players. Because, you know, Jim, everything you do from a quarterback backing out from center, if you do it during practice 250 times, then you during the course of a week, you do it over 1,000 times. Whether you're a receiver coming off the line, a tackle getting out of your stance, a defensive lineman, or a linebacker in pursuit of the football, those things that are repetitiously done, that's what gets you in football shape. It's not these other training routines that you can go through because you're not an MMA fighter, you're not a basketball player, you're a football player.
Are you surprised? Yeah. And Alshon Jeffrey was also at Wrigley Field last weekend where he threw out the first pitch and led the stretch. John Fox went to Wrigley. They had a conversation. Are you surprised that after that conversation, you didn't see Alshon Jeffrey return to Halas Hall?
Jim, let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it is voluntary. He does have that choice. But as Tom mentioned, the Bears did make the commitment of over $14 million. I think that says the stance and how they feel about Alshon Jeffrey's talents. Again, I just go back to this. Where's the upside? Because all the things that Tom just mentioned, we're out there honing your craft. He's trying to shoot for a long-term contract, right? Whether it's with the Bears or if a deal gets done, or with another team. So the only way you're going to make those big dollars is perform at a very high level. And why not give yourself the best shot by going in year two, hone in on the offense a little bit more. Hopefully you can stay healthy the entire year, and you're only going to have a better shot of what should I say, deepening your pockets in terms of a long-term deal for the type of contract that you want. So to me, that's what I'd be doing. It obviously was what Von Miller's doing, and it's what Muhammad Wilkerson's doing, because they expect to get paid, and they're ensuring that by being with their teammates to getting the work done.
The flip side would be Alshon Jeffrey last year. His whole season was derailed because he got hurt in a walkthrough prior to the preseason opener. What happens if you get hurt in one of these OTA workouts before you sign a long-term deal?
You got time to heal up. You're getting injured during a walkthrough when the regular season's getting ready to start. You're not prepared. That's what
he's already guaranteed $14 million right now. He could go out and stub his toe. He's getting $14
million. Back with more on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K taking place Saturday, June 25th. Get more information and register today. Yeah, I'm getting emotional today at chicagobears.com/5K. Okay, again, let me say it again, so just in case you were interrupted. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K taking place Saturday, June 25th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. And all of us doing this show right now can get in better shape. So it's something to consider. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom there.
You can smell the wood burn,
yeah,
Zach.
Right. Tom just glared at me. Oh my goodness. Jim Miller is here as well. I think one of the areas that, you know, we've spent time talking about what we think Alshon Jeffrey should do, but you know, the reality is he's not at Halas Hall for all these offseason workouts. So
I mean, do we even know if he's healthy right now? I mean, if he's working out and doing all these things, for all we know, he tore his hammy sprinting in to sign the franchise tag. because that was signed pretty quickly by Alshon Jeffrey. They don't know even what type of health he's in currently. So they'd like to have him out there and see him get better working with his teammates to see where he's at.
Well, we'll find out in a couple of weeks, mandatory minicamp, and he's not going to skip that.
Right, but you know, the thing about Alshon, he's such an influence on this football team and on this offense specifically, and if they can score points because Alshon's on the field with the other talent they have, it helps the defense and it helps the special teams. We're not picking on Alshon by any way, shape, or form. It's just that Jim and I have lived on rosters our whole life, from high school to the college to the NFL. And you want to be able to, you know, have that camaraderie with the teammates, even though they're not your position. And you understand the importance of guys being there every day. And you understand when, you know, I'm tired and you're tired, hey, we're in this together. And if you're getting yelled at in front of us, hey, I got your back. It's all those little things that are as the reason you're around your teammates. And to me, what I've got to know of Ryan Pace and John Fox, they set an atmosphere out there that is really player-friendly. And, yeah, you work hard, but they're trying to develop you into a championship mentality. And so that's why I think everybody that's a Bears fan wants to see Alshon participating, because they realize he's an important part of the future success
of
the
Bears. No question, but we've also seen many examples, and Jim, you can relate this. There are many examples throughout the NFL of guys who have missed huge portions of the offseason workouts. Like Kyle Long, for example, his rookie season, because you have to wait until your class graduates. So at Oregon, he had to wait until late in the year, was not able to participate in most of the offseason workouts, had only 5 starts, I believe, on the offensive line during his college career, and yet lit it up, made the Pro Bowl his rookie season. So we've seen instances, and Alshon Jeffrey knows the offense, he knows the NFL, he understands how to read defenses and be successful. So it doesn't mean that they can't do all the things that Tom talked about.
Well, we understand that, but circumstances were different there. Obviously, we know the rules about college players. What are the rules for a veteran receiver who, you know, that this is by choice, right? I mean,
yeah.
Kyle Long had no choice, and the Bears had no choice. Those are rules that are in place that made that happen, and Kyle is a fantastic player. Though that's not the case for Alshon. I mean, so, you know, again, what are his teammates thinking about him? What's Danny Trevathan thinking about him? That guy's a world champion. He has yet to even probably get to know his teammate in Alshon Jeffrey. As Mitch Unrein, we had that conversation about gelling with the team, getting to know one another, all those type of things. It's a critical time of the year for that. A lot of those guys the new guys to the team, they don't even know who Alshon Jeffrey is, other than when they've seen him play and seen the highlight reel. They don't know him.
You know, with Kyle Long, they didn't know what his influence on this football team was going to be. Even his rookie year, they didn't know it was going to be. They went and drafted a player who passed the eye test and had a lot of athleticism, strength, size, everything. And it was about the Bears getting bigger at the offensive line and getting more powerful. They know what Alshon has the ability to contribute to this football team. They know what he can do for a quarterback. They know what he can do for Kevin White and the, like I said, the running back position and the rest of the receivers on this team. So you do have an understanding. If you get a guy who's committed to his football team, who's ready to roll when day one gets here, boy, he can be a big, big plus sign for this team.
The Bears have another week of OTAs next week, and then mandatory mini camp in a couple of weeks, and then it's off to training camp. It's go time.
Yeah, it's on now. Again, because you go to the OTAs, you go through the mini camp, and then you have a little time off, but it's on.
For Tom and Jim, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Next week, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, right here on The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.